sing a song of victory. What a great homecoming day, what a day heaven will be. So let our rejoicing right now, beloved, because our reward is waiting for us. My burdens I'll carry on with the lifting, if no more wealth in the eye. Through the eternal ages, we will sing praises to the Lamb that bled and died. Now the books will be open, crowns be given to the faithful and true. Hallelujah will resound forever. I'll be there. How about you? Oh, what a great homecoming day, and what a day in heaven will be. When we bid this world goodbye, and our home at last we've seen. When we join the millions there, sing a song of victory. What a great homecoming day, what a day in heaven will be. What a great homecoming day, what a day in heaven will be. Now when we bid this world goodbye, and our home at last we see. Now when we join the millions there, sing a song of victory. What a great homecoming day. Oh, what a day in heaven with me.
Amen. Get ready, my love. Get ready.
Amen. We're going to turn to 270 and sing In the Garden for our offertory.
Tells me I am his own.
So we are now going to have a trio. We're going to have Zuria, Raylene, and Giselle. Right? That's fair?
Yes, Giselle's not here though.
Oh, Giselle's not here. Okay. So we're going to have a duo. Do it.
What do you say to someone who feels so unloved, giving themselves away a little bit every day just to be good enough?
What do you say to someone who's built so Thank you for praying for me. Last Sunday, I lost my voice completely. I had a flu and I could not get up, but I am feeling better today. I'm glad to be in church. Amen.
Amen.
If you're like me, missing one service of church for me is like you go through withdrawals. Amen. You go through withdrawals, brother. It's a tough time for me last Sunday. I ask you to pray for Zana, who's dealing with breast cancer as she goes through chemotherapy. And also pray for Colleen in the Philippines, Brother Romel's niece, who's going through surgery for her scoliosis. So two people to pray for is Zana and Colleen. Having said that, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. As you find your way to 1 Samuel chapter 16, let me say a disclaimer that I intend to remind our congregation every now and then when we approach the Word of God. So as you find your way to 1 Samuel 16, the disclaimer when it comes to preaching is that you've got to approach this book as a divine book. But as human beings, we are carnal. And so the nature of the Bible will naturally go against human nature. And the truth is, preaching is a battleground. It's a battleground. Every time I come up behind the pulpit, I recognize and I pray because we are about to go to war. Not a physical warfare, but a spiritual warfare. Because preaching will naturally offend your reason. It will offend your human senses. But if the Bible will offend you, it is only offensive when the listener is not in tune with this book. Or when the Bible is not being preached. Having said that disclaimer, now turn to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to be going through verses 14 to 18. For those of you that are joining with us for the first time, what we do is we go from book to book, Pastor. We go from book to book, and then we go from verse to verse, and we allow the Holy Spirit of God to speak to us.
Amen.
Amen. There is one authority, and that one authority is not the pastor.
Amen.
The authority is not man. The authority is God and His holy word. Amen?
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 16, verses 14 through 18, and I'll ask my brother to lift up his voice to pray for this message this morning. Once you're there, say amen.
Amen.
1 Samuel chapter 16, the Bible says, "But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul." What a sad thought. "And an evil spirit from the Lord troubled him. And Saul's servant said unto him, Behold now, an evil spirit from God troubleth thee. Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee, that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well. And Saul said unto his servants, Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me. Then answered one of the servants and said, Behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite, that is, one, cunning in playing, two, a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person." And here's the title of our message this morning: "And the Lord is with him." The Lord is with him.
Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we humble ourselves before thee, for we acknowledge who you are. Thou art the God who has created all things, God of Abraham. Given us
Thank you for standing up. Last Sunday, we learned that Saul had an evil spirit come to him. And then we also learned that as a Christian, we ought to have an excellent spirit. That's last Sunday. You know, one more thing about attitudes. We've talked about it last time we were here. One more thing about attitudes before I proceed is whether attitude is negative or positive, one thing we ought to learn about attitude is that it is infectious. Amen? Attitude is infectious. Galatians 5:9 says a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You know how many Christians with a bad attitude it takes to ruin the entire church? How many Christians do you need to ruin an entire church? One. You know how many persons you need to ruin a relationship at home? One. You know how many workers you need to ruin the morale at work? Just one. I tell you, attitude is infectious. That's where we left off last Sunday. Take a look at verse 16 now. Now here, the ailment came to King Saul, as we know, because he did not do what God wanted him to do. That's from the last chapter. In verse 16, he says, "Let our Lord now command thy servants which are before thee to seek out a man who is cunning in a cunning player on a harp. And it shall come to pass when the evil spirit from God is upon thee that he shall play with his hand, and thou shalt be well." So Saul had asked his servants to look for a man who was able to play, who was a musician, who was able to play the harp. Back then, there's only a few musical instruments that would soothe your soul when you listen to it, and the harp was one of them. If you've ever seen a harp, it's that big corded instrument that sometimes can be bigger than an individual that's playing it. But the ailment came because King Saul did not do what God wanted him to do. So he was asking for somebody who will be able to make him well. In verse 16 ends with that phrase, "and thou shalt be well." You know what that reminds me of? That reminds me of Genesis chapter 4, verse 7, in the beginning of mankind. Take a look at Genesis chapter 4 real quick. Genesis chapter 4, what I do is I compare scripture with scripture. There are things that can make you well as a Christian. Genesis chapter 4, there were two brothers by the names of Cain and Abel, and they were presenting themselves to God according to the offering that God would accept. If you slide down to verse 7 of Genesis chapter 4, notice what the Bible says. What does it take for a man to be well? Take a look at Genesis 4:7. It says, "If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him." You know the story between Cain and Abel. God accepted the offering of Abel because it was a blood sacrifice. And God rejected the offering of Cain because he disobeyed the acceptable offering of offering blood. You see, you could not approach God, you could not approach the throne of God without the shedding of blood. That's the entire premise behind the Old Testament. You could only come to God when you present yourself to Him with blood. But nevertheless, let's take it to the practical level today. When things are not going well in the life of a Christian, one thing you should ask is whether you are doing what God wants you to do. Let me say it again. If things are not going well in your home, in your life, first thing to ask is maybe you are not doing what God wants you to do. I remember Jonah. How many of you remember the story of Jonah? God had told Jonah, "I want you to go to Nineveh." And I want you to preach to them repentance. I want you to tell them that they are sinning against God. And I want you to tell them to repent and return to God. You know what Jonah said? Jonah said, no, I'm not going to go there. I'm afraid to speak to the Ninevites. What does he do? What did Jonah do? He jumps into a ship. You know what happened to that ship? That ship, there was a storm that came and began to rock that ship to the point that they had lost much of their stuff, their baggage, and even some lives. But the point is, when you are not doing what God wants you to do, the things around you may not be going well. Now, if you want things to go well in your life, here are your prescriptions from the Word of God. Number one, it's not the message yet, just a quick outline. If you want things to go well in your life, here are your prescriptions from the Word of God. First one is, you got to be willing to do God's will. You got to be willing to do God's will for your life. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 18, the Bible says, "And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto the fathers." Be willing to do God's will in your life. You want things to go well? Be willing to do God's will in your life. Secondly, be willing to do work. Be willing to work. Yeah, you know, we live in a give me society. Oh yeah, we do. In our society today, everybody just wants to get. Nobody wants to give. People want to receive without working for the things that they want to receive. That's the characteristic of our society today. But take a look at Psalm 128, verse 2. But what does the Bible say? You want things to be well with you? Number one, be willing to do God's will for you. Secondly, be willing to do work. Be willing to do work. Take a look at Psalm 128, verse 2. Psalm 128, verse 2. The Bible says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands. Happy shalt thou be." And what does it say? "And it shall be well with thee." It shall be well with thee. You want things to go right in your life? You want things to be well with you? Be willing to work. You say, "Well, Pastor, that's pretty fundamental." Yes, it is. Very fundamental. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8, the Bible says, "But if any provide not for his own, especially for those of his own house, he hath denied the faith and is worse than an infidel." You know what the problem with the amongst Baptists today? And I say that freely because I am a Baptist. Amen? The problem with Baptists today is we are raising a generation of young people who do not know how to work. Not only they do not know how to work, they are not willing to work. They say, "Well, no, I cannot find a job. I don't want to look for a job because God is calling me into the ministry. I am called to preach. I'm not called to labor." Huh? And then they come and they grow up and they get married and they begin to have children. And you know what? They realize that the ministry is work. The ministry is labor. And guess what? Just because you are called to preach does not excuse you from providing for your own family. Amen? That's Bible teaching. What happens when you tell these young people, "Oh, if God is calling you to preach, you should not find a job"? You know what's going to happen? I guarantee you 80 to 90% of them will quit the ministry. Because reality will hit them and they will realize, here am I trying to follow God's will for me. Here am I trying to preach the Word of God as He had called me to do. Who's going to feed my family? Amen? Someone said, the greatest need in Christian America today are preachers who are able to provide for themselves. That's true. You want things to be well with you? Be willing to do work. Thirdly, be willing to do good for others. Be willing to do good for others. Take a look at 3 John chapter 5. There's only one verse. 3 John all the way at the end of your Bible, almost close to the book of Revelation. 3 John verses 5 through 7. 3 John 5 through 7. The Bible says, "Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sword," you know what verse 7 says? Verse 6 says, "thou shalt do well." See, I don't make things up. I don't make things up. If it comes from the Word of God, that's what I preach. Amen? Go to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 28. You want things to be well with you? Number one, be willing to do God's will for you. Number two, be willing to do work. And number three, be willing to do good for others. Ephesians 4:28, "Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him," what does that say? "Labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, not only for yourself," what does that say? "That he may have to give to him that needeth." Are you following me? Here's another reason why a Christian should be hardworking. A Christian should be hardworking so that you may have enough for yourself and your family and then some for others. Amen? That's Bible. That's not philosophy. That's Bible. Let me show you something in the early church. Something in the early church happened that unfortunately could never be repeated in Christianity today. Turn to Acts chapter 4. Acts chapter 4. You want things to go well with you in your life? Be willing to do good for others. In the beginning of the church, in the early Christianity, in the book of Acts chapter 4, there was an incident that unfortunately could never be repeated in Christianity today. Slide down to verses 33 to 35. Acts chapter 4. And you know what it was? In the early church, those that owned properties. How many of you own any property? Or house? Or houses? And homes? In the early church, you know what they did? Verse 33. "And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great," what's that word? "Grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked. For as many as were possessors of lands or houses sold them, and brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made unto every man according as he had need." I'm not saying we should do that today. That was a one-time event for God's purpose. But imagine the principle. The principle is work hard so that when you have, you're able to give. You see, you cannot give what you do not have. Amen? You cannot give what when you do not have. The principle remains true. So point number one, you want things to be well with your life or in your life, one, do God's will for you. Secondly, be willing to do work. And thirdly, be willing to do good for others. Amen? Take a look at verse 17 now. That's not the message yet. That's just something for you to take home. Verse 17. Back to our text. 1 Samuel chapter 16. And so King Saul said, "Well, I want you to find me a man who was able to play this harp." And then the Bible says, "Thou shalt be well, and thou shalt be well." Verse 17. And Saul said unto his servants, "Provide me now a man that can play well, and bring him to me." So Saul said, you know what, you're right. You're right about that. Why don't you go look around and find me somebody who knows how to play the harp? Here's what I gather from this. Saul, King Saul, wanted to be well. In other words, he wanted to be healed. And here's the truth. You cannot help somebody who does not want to be helped. You cannot help somebody who does not want to be helped. You know, I am a I'm an immigrant to this country. I moved here when I was a teenager. I'm a naturalized citizen. Okay? But I've learned a couple of things coming from a third world country and moving to the United States. In this country, the government has every program you can imagine to help someone in need. Oh yeah. In addition, you have, these are my observations as an immigrant. In addition, you have nonprofit organizations like churches who have the means to support every homeless person on the street. Oh yeah. We have enough resources and programs. We have nonprofit organizations that are willing and able to help. How many of you have been through LA? How many of you have driven through Alameda, Central, or anywhere in downtown LA? Or even here in San Diego, just go to downtown San Diego. Okay, a couple of streets there. Question. Why is it that many are still not getting help? The truth is that you cannot help someone who does not want to be helped. Amen? In the same token, you cannot heal someone who does not want healing in his or her life. King Saul said, oh yeah, I agree. You know what? I need to be healed. But you cannot help someone who does not want healing in her life or his life. Along the same line, a person must first recognize his sinful nature and understand the penalty of sin before he will cry out for a savior. See, the issue is not that there is no cure for sin. The issue is the heart. Amen. That's the issue. Move on to verse 18. Verse 18 now. Are you still with me? That's two verses. Amen? That's two verses. Verse 18. Then answered one of the servants and said, behold, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite that is cunning and plain and mighty. Wait a minute. Think about it for a second. There was a servant who said, my king, I have seen a son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. Now, what are the chances that Saul's servant happened to know David? The young shepherd who was going to, by the way, replace him? What are the chances? And the truth is, there are no accidents when you are a child of God. Romans 8:28 says, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Psalm 37 verse 23 says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. There are no accidents in God. When you are a child of God, the things that are happening in your life, there is no accident. It is not an accident that you ended up here today. It is not an accident that you're living in this country today. It is not an accident that you're listening to this message today. Amen. There are no accidents in the child of God. Well, Pastor, What about when I don't understand what's going on? What about when I don't see God's presence in my life? Is God still involved in my life? Is God still in charge? Does he still know what is going on in my life? I like the song. How many of you have heard a song, Trust His Heart? The song goes like this. I'm not going to sing it because I have a cold. Otherwise, I would. You know I would. But listen to the lyrics of this song. All things work for our good, though sometimes we don't see how they could. Struggles that break our hearts in two sometimes blind us to the truth. But our Father knows what's best for us. His ways are not our own. So when your pathway grows dim and you don't see him, just remember, you're never alone. Why? Because God is too wise to be mistaken. God is too good to be unkind. So when you don't understand, when you don't see his plan, when you can't trace his hand, trust his heart. Amen? Back to our text. There are no accidents in the life of a believer. Verse 18 now. So one of Saul's servants says, I have seen the son of Jesse the Bethlehemite. This is where we end off, where we leave for today. Pay close attention to verse 18. I have seen the son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning in playing, and a mighty valiant man, and a man of war, and prudent in matters, and a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Apparently, last few Sundays we've learned that God's chosen king was a shepherd. How many of you remember that? Amen. That God chose a shepherd to be the next king of Israel. And that he had a comely look, a beautiful countenance, and he was goodly to look upon in verse 12. But apparently, according to this verse, David was not all about his looks. Take a look at the verse. He was a multi-talented man. He had multiple skills. Number one, he was a musician. The Bible says he was cunning in playing. He was a musician. He could play the harp. And he was good at it. Secondly, he was a valiant man. What does that mean? He's a hero. Right? In the modern times, he might as well be a policeman. Right? Then he says he's a man of war. If you translate that to the modern times, he might be a marine. Amen? Or a soldier, or a sailor, or a firefighter. He's a man of war. And then number four, he's a prudent man. He was a prudent man. In the modern times, he may be a business entrepreneur. You know, I'm a small business owner who is prudent and who is diligent in everything that he does. But most importantly, you know what the Bible says in verse 18? The Lord is with him. Amen. You see, it did not really matter if he was a cunning player, as long as the Lord was with him. All the skills, the knowledge, the wisdom, the character, the good looks were good to have, but none of those things will matter if the Lord was not with him. You can have the most qualified, the most eloquent, the wisest person in the ministry, but if God is not with him, if God is not with you, It does not matter what skill you have. It does not matter what talent you have. It does not matter what sort of education you may have in this world. It does not matter how much riches you have. If God is not with you, amen? Sadly, in churches today, you know, we vote on people with accolades. We vote on people to sit in a position because of their accomplishments in life. And that's good because it shows that they are diligent in the things that they do. But accolades alone, skills alone, knowledge alone, education alone is not enough. The Lord has to be with that man. People say, well, I don't want that guy because he did not go to this and that kind of Bible college or Bible seminary. Oh, I do not like that guy because he's not eloquent in English. I do not like that guy because whatever reason. The question you should be asking is God with that man?
Amen. Amen.
And the same thing goes when it comes to churches. And people say, well, I want to go to that church because that church sounds so alive with their music and with their bands and with their drums, and it's just a happy place. I want to go to that happy church. They say, well, I want to go to that church because they feed every Sunday. I get hungry every Sunday. I don't have to cook. I want to go to that church so I can eat every Sunday. Amen? And then some people say, well, I want to go to that church because there are a lot of people my age in that church. I want to be able to connect to my generation. Right? People say, well, I want to go to that church because that church is an affluent church. I want to go to that church for whatever reason. But the question you should be asking today, Christian, is, are you going to the church because God is in that church?
Amen.
Amen. Is the Bible being preached in that church? Is the Word of God being magnified in that church? Or is it a show? Amen? You know, I'm just like you. I keep my eyes open. I look at how other churches do their church, how they conduct their services, and how, what kind of preaching they deliver, what kind of music they sing. I'm just like you. I look at those things. I've been through a couple of churches too. I was a member of a Lighthouse Baptist Church in LA for 10 years. I was a member of Isle Baptist Church for 5 years in National City. I've seen churches. But you know the trend amongst churches today? But I hope will never happen to our church. Our services that please the flesh.
Amen.
Services that quote one verse from the Bible, and then the entire message is about what the pastor has to say.
Right.
Our services where the songs are not lifting the soul and the spirit, it's gratifying to the flesh. That's the trend of churches today. And most importantly, the trend of churches today is smaller Bible, bigger programs. I heard a preacher say one time, and I cannot agree more, the bigger the Bible, the smaller the church. The smaller the Bible, the bigger the church. What do you want for Chula Vista Valley Baptist Church? I went through a seminar of how to learn the administrative aspect of the church. You know, I'm I have a certification that says I am a certified church executive. It's in my office, a little diploma. In that little certified church executive program that I attended, I learned how to manage the church, the finances of the church, make sure the church is in obedience with IRS, and with the laws, taxation, and things like that. I learned those things. But in that seminar, I also learned how the church could get bigger financially and building-wise. I know how to do it. I've learned how to do it. There are ways to, if that is what the goal is, if that is what you want, members of Chula Vista Baptist Baptist Church, if what we want is a bigger facility, a bigger church, as in more buildings, more programs, if that is what we want, I've learned how to do that. I've learned how to do that. You want to create a mega church? I've learned how to do that. There's a way to do it that will not cost you a lot of money as members. In fact, we'll be using government money to build our church. There's a way. Many churches are doing it. The Roman Catholic Church does it. The Church of Mormons do it. The Church of Christ does it. Every mega church does it. That's why they're able to build all these buildings. But you know, when I was going through that seminar, that schooling, I asked myself, what is the vision for Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church? What is it that God had called this church to be here in Chula Vista? And what is it that God had called me to do as the pastor? Conviction set in here. The calling is to stay true to the Word of God. And to deliver it in its purity, and to be a lighthouse into this community. That's it. God will bring the increase. The focus is not on how do we fill up the pews. The focus is not how do we expand the nursery. The focus is not how do we grow our children's program and be able to move on to the next the buildings across the street. That's not the focus. If God does that, that's because that's what God wanted us to do. But the focus is the Word of God. That's what I'm called to do. To teach and preach this book. And by it, to change lives. And by it, to grow you spiritually. Amen? But most importantly, the focus is how God could stay with Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church. Because regardless of what we do, if God is not with us. Let me close with Romans 8:31. Romans 8:31. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, right around that verse that you like, that all things work for our good, take a look at verse 31. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? Amen. I hope you believe that we're getting close to the end of times. Jesus Christ is coming soon. He is. My brother was teaching about in the Sunday school hour, the capital of Israel is now Jerusalem. You look at the society, same-sex marriages, are now acceptable. I'm not talking about amongst the unsaved. I'm talking about amongst Christians. What are those two things combined? What do those two things mean to you? He's coming soon. And if you're not saved today, you're still playing church. You still think that church is about the fellowship. Church is about, you know, the food that follows. By the way, we're going to have a potluck right now. We're going to have a lot of food out there right now. If you still think the church is about how I can expand the building program, if you still think the church is about, you know, all of these superficial things, and you are not saved today, he comes down and says, come up hither. And you have no idea what happened to Brother June. You have no idea what happened to Brother Raul. You have no idea what happened to Sister Fran, to Brother Rommel, and Sister Ruth. And all of a sudden, you're looking around. You're coming to church on a Sunday, and you're looking for everybody. And say, where's everybody at? You've been left behind. Amen? I'll tell you, if you're not saved today, I'll give you an opportunity to come. An opportunity to come. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Is God in this place? Is God in Chula Vista Bible Baptist Church? The Bible says, if God be for us, who can be against us? But more importantly, is God with you? Every head bowed, every eye closed. As the piano plays, is God with you? Are you saved? Do you know for sure heaven will be your home? Is he your savior? And if you are a Christian, is God ruling your life? Is he your king? Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you need to come, we'll give you a chance to come. We'll show you how, from the Bible, how you can be saved. Altar is open. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit. If he's knocking at the door of your heart, he's saying, let me come in. Let me come in. People say,
amen.
Let's close in prayer. There's a fellowship potluck out there waiting for us. I hope you're not in a hurry. You know, the church is a place where we can edify one another. And please, I hope you don't just leave and be in a hurry. And at least stick around for fellowship. Shake hands with everybody and welcome the visitors, especially. Okay. Brother Ramel, can you close in prayer, please?
Thank you.